Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. Are you feeling nice? Like that pumpkin spice, the special coffee you get in the autumn? You're gonna walk to the bookstore tomorrow. You're gonna get yourself some pumpkin spice coffee. And it's gonna feel real nice. Because it is Friday the 13th, 2025. We are still in Bo Blimp Doc, which means technically we're 5+ years now. Will there be a full 6 year of Bo Blimp Doc? Will we make it to year 7? These are all questions for the Time Pirates. And I am not in charge of their schedule. So I wanted to give you guys an update. And, you know, this isn't for sympathy. This is just to let you know where my head is. And likely for all 2 or 3 of my listeners who are, you know, who care and are real, to know if there'll be gaps in the podcast, there could be. My living situation has become unstable for different reasons, one of which is that the rent just went up. And I don't really trust the person who is running the situation, so I do have to find a place to live. My brother has already moved back into his truck. Now, he has a job for the summer, and it's a good job, and he's a great guy, but it troubles me. It troubles me that he has to do that. You could say to yourself, well, Dan, you know, but you can just maybe fuck off too. Because before you complete that sentence, understand that when I was a kid, a hobo, a person with little means, could still afford a place to live. And then we decided that one of the bricks in Maslow's hierarchy, shelter, would be better if it was financialized. Why not finance it? Why not put it on a 40-year mortgage? Fannie Freddie will help everybody get a home. And there are no negative consequences. There are no second or third order effects. It's certainly not the case that school districts that fund themselves with property taxes find themselves in a race condition because the teachers they want to hire can't afford to find a place to live. But lots of people got problems right now. That's the simple truth. In fact, I've identified a few people, let's just say identified some folks that I've been exposed to that are doing some gaslighting, but actual people I can verify that I trust, they're telling me the same story. It's shit. The food prices have not gone down. For all the rhetoric about eggs and diesel fuel, a lot of people just can't afford to live. And nobody trusts, really, not that many people trust Papa Blumpity Blump. He's the latest joke. And they're all jokes. Biden was a joke. The joke's on us, as Spooner might say. So I could be living in a tent, big fucking deal. I could be homeless in that street homeless sense, because I've been kind of homeless off and on for the last few years, but yeah, I could be hitting the street. It's been something I've been concerned about since 2019, and you know, that's okay, that's life. A lot of people right now are in far worse situations. I may have a path forward with a job working at a school. And it might end up leading to me getting some shelter. The tricky problem is that you have to make, 3 times the rent is income to get into any apartment where I live. Because basically one property management company pretty much owns all the apartment complexes. I think it's Windermere. And I don't make, even with this job I might get, I'm not going to be making 3 times rent. So it's a strange situation. I could end up working at a school. I might end up living at one of the local campsites. I think I'm going to talk to my brother about this. We've done this before. It's a survivor move. It's not necessarily super cheap, but it's cheaper. Like, we worked it out to be about $900 a month. And it's far from ideal, but it is the situation. I mean, none of us really like the situation we're in, maybe. Some of you do. And if you want to send me a gaslight email, I'd love it, because I would read it online, right? But maybe I get this job, and maybe I can get into a one-bedroom apartment, and maybe I can share it with my brother so we can both not be on the streets. These are all maybes. Who knows? I'm going to read an article, and then we'll have a conversation about it, right? This article comes from Al Jazeera. Oh my gosh, Dan's a terrorist. Yes, this article comes from Al Jazeera. The headline is, Israel Attacks Iran, What We Know So Far. This is written by the Al Jazeera staff, which could mean AI. 13 June 2025, it's Friday the 13th. Israel has attacked several Iranian nuclear facilities and military sites and carried out assassinations of top military officials and nuclear scientists. An initial wave of strikes was carried out on Friday morning. A second, separate attack on the city of Tabriz, northwest Iran, was reported by local media later on Friday. The aggression has led to fears of a wider military conflict in the region, with Tehran promising a harsh response. Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei warned that Israel faces a bitter and painful fate following the attack. By God's will, the powerful hand of the armed forces of the Islamic Republic will not let Israel go unpunished, he said. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a pre-recorded message before he fled to Poland that the strikes early on Friday were aimed at hurting Iran's nuclear infrastructure and ballistic missile factories. I'm not going to go down the list. This Al Jazeera article is an update to give you an idea of what Israel has done. They've hit the capital, they've hit nuclear sites. Arguably, they probably have hit some sites that contain missiles and drones and storage. Who knows? But when you read these words, brothers and sisters, and I want to read them again because it's critical. The aggression has led to fears of a wider military conflict. You could have read this line in 2022 regarding the Ukraine war. You could have read this line with respect to anything Israel's been doing in Gaza. You could have read this line multiple times, especially since 2020. And it might not be a sentence about military conflict. It could be about food processing plants and cows having sex with chickens that have AIDS. The point is, there's a lot of bullshit out there right now. We have been fear-mongered my whole life, and recent years we have been fear-mongered about World War III. My whole life, since I was a kid, pop culture, World War III, nuclear war, just like pandemics. And the PSYOP masters know that this is not predictive programming. This is not, you know, required of the Illuminati to reveal the deal. This is preparing the mind for mind warfare, for strategic military psychological warfare. If you want to pull a COVID out of your butt crack and rename the flu COVID and rename preventable hospital-acquired infections COVID, then guess what? Your population has seen all the great movies, read all the great Michael Crichton books, have all the great little fear monkeys all ready to go. Since 2022, they've hyped up the World War III angle. If you ask me, a lot of this still looks like bullshit to me, which means we are still in Boblimtok. I can't tell you with certainty what they are hiding. What I do believe is that they are hiding something. And all of this tantric edging towards destruction, all of this ridiculosity, to include the whole Trump, Elon Musk trauma drama, which looks like the hero heel act from the World Wrestling Federation, by the way. And I think both of those guys have connects, you know, you fucking freak. So yeah, you can look at this Israeli attack on Iran and you can say to yourself, it looks like there's going to be World War III. You can look at the India-Pakistan exchange and the violence they've had over Kashmir and you can say, oh, it could be, you know, World War III. Especially when you consider the issue between India and Pakistan has to do with something that if you don't have it, if you lose it, within 3 days you're dead. And that's called drinkable water. Yeah, that's the main issue there, and it's a serious fucking issue. So if you ask yourself, why are we so slowly edging towards something we're told every day is so nearby? I would tell you it's the same reason why people did the lockdowns, the same reason why people followed the arrows at the grocery stores, the same reason why people wore coffee filters on their faces. The same reason why people believed the BLM Antifa crap in 2020, and they still believe that bullshit today, even though I've recorded government officials in Seattle admitting that they're putting on a show. So you have to ask yourself, what exactly is going on? And all we can say for certain is we're being lied to. And all we can really say for certain, in my opinion, is they're covering something up. My suggestion is reject them. I took a screenshot of a podcast, Chris Hedges. I'm not into him. But it's one of these, there's going to be American concentration camps. And I just took the screenshot because I wanted to point out that when you look at this grimacing figure, this Chris Hedges, with this kind of demonic scowl on his face, understand he's part of the bullshit too. Do you believe that the powers that be have so much resources that they're going to start rounding people up? Do you believe the powers that be are going to use you and your other sick neighbors? Maybe not all your neighbors are sick, but I've seen all the pills they take. Yeah, do you think all your plastic spoonhead neighbors with their cancer and diabetes, with their problems involving their own kids that they have to manage because their kids have disorders, do you think all these sick people are going to be building pyramids for the Pharaoh? Do you? Do you see them doing that? Do you see any use for billions of sick and crazy people? That's the question you need to answer. I'm not saying everybody's like this, but enough people I've met, enough people I've seen, and enough from what I can tell, enough people are like this. Do you think the Pharaoh is going to take those billions of people and do anything other than watch them die? Do you think the Pharaoh cares how long it takes for you to die? This nuclear war thing could happen. If you ask me, if my worst case scenario is true, that our government and world governments have been managing rapid permafrost collapse for at least the last few decades. If this is actually the case, if this is true, then yeah, it's ugly, and they could end it with a nuclear war. They could end the years of Bo Blimp Doc on the edge of Venus syndrome with a nuclear war. We'll see, right? But my advice is focus on food, water, shelter, focus on community, focus on joy. Focus on peace. And if you're a Christian, admit to yourself that the Lord does love you. It's relatively easy for us humans to blame God. I've been doing it more or less the last year. But at least I'm aware of what I'm doing. That's one thing. But it's easy for us humans. And in the Bible, you'll read many such cases of people shaking their fists at God and asking, why did you do this to me? Brothers and sisters, look around. The Lord in heaven kicked us out of Eden, but he gave us a place that could be a garden. The reason why it looks like a smoking landfill is not because of something God did. It's because of something we did. But Dan, I didn't know. We all kind of participate on the Death Star, fool. So, we're in air conditioning season again, which is weird in Western Washington. It's weird to see advertisements for air conditioners. It's weird to see the AIs popping them up in my thread, knowing where I live. This particular air conditioning advert I took a screenshot of says Royal Air Texas. But to tell you the truth, they're probably just, you know, a shipping point for something. The key thing for me is, why the fuck do people on the Olympic Peninsula need air conditioning? That's the critical question for me. I can understand the need of a heater, you know, although we really didn't need much other than the chemicalized nucleation that was going on. We didn't really need much of a heater this last winter. You take out the fake snow, which, by the way, is almost gone from the Olympics unless they cook up another winter storm in June. Yeah, you take away the fake snow from February and we didn't need a heater. But what I know as a kid is nobody needed an air conditioner in Western Washington, ever. And that's not linear, okay, folks? So you need to do your own thinking on air conditioning season, next topic. Dion, I can't believe you. I'm telling you the deal, folks. So about a year ago, a mountain in the Alps, I think it could have been the German or French Alps, it might have been the Swiss Alps, but about a year and a half ago, a mountain just kind of disintegrated. And you could say, well, how does that happen, Dan? Well, time and pressure, you know, water and wind will break up a mountain into pieces. But the interesting thing about the process is that the gaps will be filled in with water that freezes. And this is one of those forms of what we call permafrost. Did you know that? Did you know that permafrost is not just around the Arctic Circle? It's one of the reasons why they're trying to confuse people about what permafrost is, and it's why there's three definitions at this point, as we've discussed in the past. But the reason why, with all that cracking, mountains don't immediately collapse is because the gaps get filled in with a kind of glue, ice. It works. It still breaks the mountain apart, but it holds the rubble together. Without that permafrost, what you have in a lot of mountain ranges right now are what are called rubble piles. Rubble piles were left behind when the glaciation, the great, you know, the last great ice age, they left behind rubble piles. You can find them around the world, you know. The glaciers were frozen, they carried a lot of rock with them, and then when the glaciers thawed out thousands of years ago, when the ice age ended, they dumped rubble in different places. This is not the same thing, but I'm trying to explain it in terms that will make sense. The bottom line is, there's also been some recent mountains and permafrost and glaciers that have been collapsing. The few glaciers that people can document as not receding in the last decade are the glaciers that are currently collapsing. And one of the things you have to ask yourself is that could this be related to geoengineering, like Dane Wigington says, that they've been using the geoengineering to keep some of these glaciers more or less intact, but it had side effects. I mean, one of the things about the chemicals they use, and Dane points this out, is that they tend to result in snow and the ice sublimating off. Now, sublimation will happen at high altitude, but generally speaking, most of it, under normal circumstances, ends up liquid, ends up in the streams and the creeks, ends up in the rivers, ends up in the sea, or a big lake. That's the story of the water. They call the Himalayas the Great Asian Water Tower. Do you know why they used to call the Himalayas that? And they call the Andes Mountains that? You know why? Because they end up acting as a process by which water is collected and then distributed. The problem with chemically nucleated snow is that most of it sublimates off. If you watch the little piles of it, like after we get our snowstorms, like the one that hit New Orleans, while cities around the Arctic were, you know, really warm or rainy, those chunks of snow will stay there for a while, and you won't notice much of a puddle around them. They'll simply disappear. I noticed this when I was in Utah. The snow just kind of disappeared. There wasn't really a lot of runoff. For all of the snow and melting of this last quote-unquote winter here, I've not noticed any of these rivers getting remotely close to flood stage. When I was a kid, if you had a massive snowstorm, you would have a lot of just immediate flooding. Now, you end up with the immediate flooding if you got an atmospheric river, which none of us ever heard of as kids. Inland hurricanes, never heard of them when I was a kid. None of the stuff they're trying to claim is normal. All these quote-unquote clouds that look like chemical warfare spraying, no. That was not a thing when I was a kid. And they'll edit stuff in the films. They will try to make it look like that's always been a thing. But it wasn't. The skies they now call mostly sunny, we had actual blue skies when I was a kid. The bluest days of the last couple weeks, I'll ask people to look up at the sky and tell me what color that is. And they'll be puzzled for a second. Then they'll look down at their smartphone and they'll say blue. Because their smartphone will you know, filter out whatever lies are there that the devil's putting in the camera, right? Or reverso. People don't know what a blue sky is. The young people have no fucking clue what a blue sky looks like. They'll describe firestorms as wildfires. That's not true. They'll describe the horrific last decade of fires around the Arctic Circle as normal. That's not actually true. Fires that don't go out around the Arctic Circle is different. It's new, and it's not a good sign. So you need to do your own thinking on this permafrost thing. I hold out that it is the main indicator of the worst case scenario. And I kind of think it's on the plate. I think this summer is going to be a real hard summer. And a lot of people who invest too much energy in Greta Thunberg and Al Gore and global warming or climate change, a lot of people on the right and the left, a lot of Democrats and Republicans will be shaking their heads. And maybe for a moment, they'll recognize the possibility that we are all being lied to. And that all the wars and all the trauma monkeys, all the COVID and the monkey herpes, all the fears coming out of the Pez dispenser at Langley LL99, that it is all crap. And that it is all smoke. That Trump is the bookend to COVID. That he is a giant fucking calm smoke. If you invest energy in hating him or loving him, you have TDS. If you recognize he's an empty sack of nothing and you're better off focusing no energy on him, positive or negative, you do not have TDS. Next topic. Dan, why do you have to talk about, you know, whatever? Why do I have to talk about the permafrost? Well, I think you'll find out. You'll find out real soon is my general opinion, and you can hate me or not hate me for talking about it, I have at least been fucking consistent. So, periodically in the last 2 years, as an amateur Sovietologist, I have been practicing the hermeneutics of political deconstruction with the goal of looking into something called nitrous oxide. Now, well, Dan, nitrous oxide, that's laughing gas. It is. It is laughing gas. You can hook it up to your car engine and like get those extra horsepower out before the cylinders pop out of the headers. Yeah, nitrous oxide's great. You know, the dentist and the mechanic love it. It is one of those threads related to permafrost collapse that if you go down that hole, you'll find a lot of, you know, brick walls and stop signs. I was doing some research a few days ago and I ended up hitting so many dead links. And the thing is, the way I understand the way the internet really works, not the way they tell you, but the way it currently works, is that those links might in fact be live, just not for me. It's a lot like what happened, you know, last year when certain officials decided my blog was porno. Well, once you decide it's porno, you don't ever see the links. They're just dead links. You get a, you know, a message from that Cloudflare site telling you, stay away from the porn. Okay, Mormon. Nitrous oxide looks like one of those forbidden topics right now. Now, why is it interesting? Well, it's interesting for a few reasons. It does horrible damage to the ozone layer. It's also interesting because over a realistic time frame of impact, which means 5 to 15 years, it is about 2,000 times more of a greenhouse forcing agent than CO2. So one ton of nitrous oxide equals more or less 2,000 tons of CO2. It doesn't last as long, but folks, you need to know that when it comes to the methane and the nitrous oxide, it won't take 100 years to kill most of the people on Earth. It'll do it in about 10 or 15 years, and it might end up doing it not just by heat stroke or simply that, or even droughts necessarily. It might do it by making it virtually impossible to feed most people, which means, best case scenario, you're still on the other side of the rainbow with maybe 10 or 50 million people out of billions, maybe, who knows? But worst case, it is Venus syndrome. Nitrous oxide is one of those compounds, one of those molecules that gets released as part of the thawing process of ancient poop and ancient dead things. The only carbon sink that's ever worked, the only sequestration that has any history, and that is the northern permafrost. The poop goes there, it freezes, it gets layered, but not any longer. In fact, when you think about that one definition, permafrost, frozen for at least 2 years, I've talked about it jokingly, like, you know, your college roommates could grab something out of there and said, "Oh boy, this is permafrost cheeseburger." But when you really deconstruct it, it's an admission. What they're really telling you is that there is no, well, that permafrost as we understand it really no longer exists. That it might exist very deep, and in the very deep parts of the permafrost, you might still find it. But all of these layers are being uncovered. It's like the difference between finding a mammoth that's 12,000 years old or finding a mammoth that's 130,000 years old. It's like the difference between finding a mammoth that's 12,000 years old, like those Russian scientists a century ago, and cutting off some meat and eating it, versus finding a mammoth that's 130,000 years old and there's not much left but skin and bone. Lot of dead links. When you do a deep dive on the topic of permafrost collapse, a lot of dead links, a lot of misinformation, a lot of just stay away. So I don't know, it's interesting. So the state of Israel is issuing bonds to fund the war in Gaza. You know, I'm not even going to read the article. My suggestion is don't buy one. Like, even if you're, you know, even if you're sort of lukewarm on the state of Israel, don't do it. If you are involved in any organization that invests, that does this, you should get out of that. This is bad. And no one should be funding the state of Israel at this point. You don't have to be labeled anti-Jewish or anti-Hebrew or whatever, anti-Semitic. You don't have to be labeled that way, but you will be labeled. What I'm telling you is simply this. Whatever your feelings are, what the state of Israel is doing is crazy and evil, but it also doesn't make any sense. Which is another way of saying, don't buy the bonds because all of it does look like bullshit. It looks like they've been fighting Godzilla. Is it possible that all of it is true, that they really have dropped over 10,000 tons of high explosive per square mile? Fuck, it could be true, but that's really fucking crazy. Oh, there's a Spencer guy that will tell you different, but I think he gets paid. Next topic. Dan, okay, I've got a t-shirt I just did. You don't have to buy it. I don't know. Next topic. Those who live longer sleep differently than ordinary people. They have green hair. They have red spines. They have no flesh. They sleep deep. They are the Skeletors. They live longer because they can't die. They are already dead. Anti-snoring. Living longer. Living after 50 is really nifty. You got sleep apnea? Let me tell you, crapnea. You can take a trip to the dip. Have your own drip. Put on your face mask and get ready to be pummeled anally. Because those who sleep longer sleep differently. Those who live longer are just Skeletors. It's true. Next topic. Dan, you suck. I do suck. And today I don't really give a fuck. So anyways. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Just because you're not a bad person, that doesn't make you a good person. What does that mean? A lot of people get stuck in this binary, you're good or bad. And it is mostly incorrect. If you want to think of this from a Christian perspective, you could say, do you have faith? Do you try to live the kingdom life, the Beatitudes, the word of Christ? Are you trying to do it at least? Then you could say you're not a bad person, and maybe even you're a good person if you're doing it well. But about the only person I could think of, and he's not really a person in the way that we are, but the only person I could think of that could make this judgment is God. And if I were God, and it's great news that I'm not, I wouldn't call myself a good person. I'm not a bad person. You know, when you think about obvious bad people, and there are a lot of them in the world right now, and a lot of them pretending to run things. I say pretending because it's a kind of a scam. I don't think they give us any real people to actually hate. I think they manufacture people, create them, pump them up to be targets. And it makes way more sense than any of the I just read about Zuckerberg's secret bunker in the magazine. You might not be a bad person. You might not be one of these evil pieces of crap that's enabling what's going on. You might just deliver pizza, you know? And from your perspective, that's all you're doing. You might just, you know, build houses, right? You're building houses. You're building shelter for people. You don't ask too many questions. You certainly don't ask where the money comes from to keep that housing economy flowing. You certainly don't ask yourself, could we all really just work for McDonald's and Home Depot or be real estate agents? Because the reality is you have to believe some nutty things to think that shelter is something you financialize. But you might not think about those things. And in reality, all you do is work hard and go home. You take care of your pets and your people. If you're a parent, you have kids, you take care of them. You're not a bad person. But you're also not a good person. There are a lot of people out there, they use what I call the parenting excuse. And the excuse is this: I cannot put myself at risk. I'll vote every couple years. The voting hopefully does something. Other than that, I'm going to be blind, dumb. I'm going to ignore the world completely. I will bury my head in the sand. These are people that probably take good care of their kids. These are people who probably have investment plans for college. These are people who probably progress through a career path that supports their family unit. They're not necessarily bad people. But if you want to make the argument that they're good people, I would suggest you look at that life again. If you want to believe the trauma monkeys that Langley is throwing at you, if you want to believe that quote-unquote truth, then you also have to accept the possibility that if anyone thought it was rational to drop 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile on poor people, that seems bad. And if your resources, your printed fiat money, I don't care if you live off the grid, you're on the Death Star 2, chum. If your resources to any degree support that, then guess what? You're not a bad person, but you're not a fucking good person either. And guess what? Neither am I. I think we're on a plague ship, and I don't mean disease, but maybe that will come for real. I don't mean the COVID monkey herpes, I mean an actual pandemic. And not, you know, military, strategic, high-intensity psychological warfare, but an actual pandemic. But when I say we're on a plague ship, maybe I should say we're on a ship of fools. We are on a ship of the despised. I don't know. I don't think I know one person other. Maybe I know a couple people. I might know a couple of men and a couple of women that I would say they're not just not bad people. They're not bad people, but they're actually good people. Maybe a couple. But the rest, no. And this is going to be even more harsh. I don't think the moral development of most people under the age of 30 is anywhere it needs to be if you want to be in a survival situation and survive. Or another way of putting it, our system, our churches, our education, our pop culture, whether or not there's a particular country in the Middle East that controls most of it, has produced at least a couple generations of people that have no moral compass, that they will float with the wind. If it comes down to them versus you, especially if their parents, they have kids, they go to sleep at night for a couple weeks and their kids are crying because they're hungry. And then you at the barbecue, I know we brought this up, but at the barbecue last summer, you bragged about your boxes of MREs. These are not necessarily bad people, but you're going to find out that they're not good people. And in many cases, you will find out that, yeah, actually, when you pull a little on that string, a lot of them are bad people. Good luck. You know, of all the challenges you face, especially if you live in a city, you face the possibility that a lot of people in your city have no idea what right and wrong are. And that once you turn off the internet, you're going to find out that they have no real capability to reason. They have zero emotional intelligence. You will find these things out, and it will be too late. If you're focused on buying an air, if let's say you live in Seattle or the Seattle area, and you're focused on solving the problem by buying an air conditioner this summer, then yeah, you go ahead and do it. You're not a bad person. But that doesn't make you a good person. It might make you a dummy, a real dummy. That's not where you should be focusing your effort, okay? No amount of air conditioning is going to fix your problem. But I can tell you, when the hungry, the tired, the thirsty go knocking around, at first it will be, please, can you give me some water? Can you give me some food? Because most of the people I know, they don't live in gated communities. They don't have private security or machine gun nests or concertina wire ready to be set up. Most of the people I know live in neighborhoods that might be okay under normal circumstances, but what's coming is not normal, and that's best case. That's if you're a fucking optimist. They will come by your door and they will ask for food and you'll give them food. They will come by your door and they will ask for water and you'll give them water. And then there will become a point, folks, where they're not going to ask. And if they have kids, they will definitely not ask. And if they have kids, they will rationalize, my kids over you. Or, as likely, my kids over your kids. Because my kids need to eat and my kids need to drink. You want to tell me about what happens next in the United States of America? You think you're going to see organized groups of people fighting to bring back the Constitution? Is that the fantasy world you live in? Because that's a place of death, folks. That's a death ship, that's a plague ship, that's a ship of the despised. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's dumb. George Soros has been a kind of Emmanuel Goldstein most of my life, and certainly over the last 30 years. And George Soros is a person they keep throwing at you. Oh, if only we could take care of George Soros. Oh, George Soros and Bill Gates. that Klaus Schwab guy. If only we could take care of those people. You know, Papa Blumpity Blump. But I contend that they might just be fakers. There could be a real George Soros. There might be a real Donald Trump. Whether or not the people we see on TV are those people is a big question mark. In the history of civilization, and I mentioned this before, but with all the plastic spoon heads, I need to mention it more than once sometimes. In the history of civilization, which is the history of locking up the food, which is also the history of armies and blowing people up, also the history of espionage, in the history of clandestine operations, standing up a going concern, a faker, goes back probably to the Sumerians. Which means maybe one of the basic arts of espionage is to create fake people. So if you think this is something they don't do, can't do, don't have the ability to do, then I can't help you. Like I said, they will come to your door, they will ask for food, they will come to your door and they will ask for water. Some of them will come to your door because it's too hot outside and their kids are dying of heat stroke. And a time will come when they're not going to ask, because that's how your brain works. You don't believe that in the history of espionage, they could create a fake person called Donald Trump. You don't believe they could create a fake person called George Soros. But they have, and they do. So don't invest any energy in the Soros bullshit. My suggestion is don't invest any energy in any of these characters. Food, water, shelter, community. Focus on the things that you can control. And if you live in a city, and I don't care where the city is, if you have the resources, you should move. I've been saying this since 2019. Back then, I think your situation would have been easier. Now it's probably too fucking late, because you'll show up in a town where the moral compass of all the young people is exactly what I just told you. I don't care if it's the countryside where they're doing meth. You'll find out that these young folks, maybe they care about their grandpa who lived in town for 50 years, but they don't really care about the newcomers. So they won't really care that you paid in cash or have a mortgage. If you're waiting until 2025 to leave a city, you should have left 5 years ago. I kind of think it's too fucking late, but the main reason it's too fucking late is because you think George Soros is a real person. And you watch the CNN and the NPR and the Fox News, you shake your fist at imaginary people, plastic spoonhead. And soon you're going to be dead. There are different techniques when it comes to mind control. But a whole bunch of techniques, especially when it comes to the forms of mind control that fit into things like trauma or torture. A whole bunch of techniques involve cycles, like breaking sleep cycles. That's something they do. They call that enhanced interrogation. They don't even think it's torture. That's what they did with all kinds of folks, still doing at Guantanamo. All the good Republican Christians believe in their torture. It's just waterboarding. So one of the ways is you break cycles. You bust the sleep cycle. You impact how people eat and how they eat their food. You impact the work-life cycles. By interrupting these cycles, and in some cases shifting them, you can drive people crazy. And this is something that the CIA has known about at least since World War II, and it's likely something that the Nazi scientists we brought over helped them with also. Not just with rockets and atom bombs. No, a lot of these good paperclip Nazis also helped us with psychological warfare. And torture, and so cycles. This trauma drama between Papa Glumpity Glump and Elon Musk, this is manufactured. If you didn't see that to begin with, if you didn't know that was coming, I don't know what to tell you. Not only is the trauma drama manufactured, but it was 100% predictable that Elon would apologize. And frankly, this is how the World Wrestling Federation organizes its soap opera. You have the heroes, the stars, the star wrestlers, and you have the heels, the bad guys. And they do their little dramas. And sometimes the hero is the heel, and sometimes the heel is the hero. And guess what? it's a cycle too. If you have a metal bar and you want to break it in two pieces, here's an option. You start bending it a little at first because it's too strong, but you keep doing it like a sine curve. You keep bending and bending and bending, and eventually the metal bar breaks. This is how manipulating cycles works with torture and mind control. So when you think about the stuff going on right now, price of food up, price of food down, you know, fuel prices, wherever they're at. If you think about the daily news cycle and the whole kind of cycle around Trump, the miracles and the can't do's. Every other day you get a miracle, a Trump miracle. Look what Trump did. And then you get a can't do. Oh, he can't do nothing about this. He can't do nothing about that. They've really brought it to an art form since 2020. Next topic. Dan, Mr. Scrumbo, I haven't spoken with Mr. Scrumbo in a while because he's a piece of shit, but yeah, Mr. Scrumbo, I don't fucking care. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Better liars have better moon probes. So Japan has, there's a company called iSpace, and they tried to land a lander, which means not with people. No people have been to the moon since at least 1972, right? But they tried to, you know, land a little probe on the moon, and they failed again. You can come back to me with things, space is hard. If you come back to me tomorrow with the singularity bullshit and how the robots are going to take over, this is where I have problems. I'm okay with you saying space is hard. I'm really not okay with you picking and choosing when technology is super powerful. Right now, a lot of people are being hypnotized by the technology myth. And it's another fear monkey. Now, truly, the fearful thing has more to do with planes falling out of the sky, but that's the truth. What you do is you cover it up with smoke. This story, I don't know what the truth is here. Space is hard. You know, we can't do things in space because it's so difficult. But then somehow, several people between 1968, when they first orbited the moon, and 1972, when they played golf on the moon, somehow several people went to the moon, landed there, lived there for a few days, and came home. Never again afterwards, and not by anyone else but the United States. It's miraculous. It really is a kind of miracle, you have to admit to yourself. But space is hard. Believe it or not, this is a cycle too. They'll periodically pump articles about how hard space is. And then you'll see a TED Talk or another article or video about how we're all going to live on Mars in 10 years. And this is not a new phenomenon. I noticed this when I was a kid. It seemed weird to me at first, but it was just a thing. I didn't really have a category to put it in. But it is a back and forth, back and forth. The technology is going to destroy you. The technology is going to save you. The robots are going to take over and kill you. The robots will feed everybody. It's a cycle too. Manipulators, grifters, like the Goat King, Jared Fitton, use techniques like this. They use the technique to break a person, the sine curve, the up, the down, the up, the down. Oh, you're my friend. Oh, you're my enemy. That's what grifters do. Sociopathic pieces of shit. Next topic. So I'm going to end today's podcast by revisiting the Elon Musk Trump thing a little. But not much. In fact, maybe the way we package it is to just say there's nothing much to say, right? I think it's a lot of fakery. I don't see any loss of it. Every day there's more stuff being faked. It's very dangerous at this point to take any of the news seriously. And I would even add this, to the extent that Elon Musk and Trump are real people doing real things, as a reminder and related, the stock market will probably go up and go down, go up, go down. The stock market will probably go up days and weeks after there's no food. Definitely after there's no meat. And I think that's coming to a lot of places real soon, folks. Now, you could say, well, Dan, there is meat for $500 a pound. And that could also end up being true. Some people will have food. Some people won't. Some people with food will live in gated communities and places they can defend. Some people will live on the same street they're living on and not realize that the world is falling around them. Some people are protected. I venture to guess that a lot of people went to Antarctica, to the safe zone, in 2019. And for the most part, they've been watching all of this like a real, you know, like reality TV, right? Starvation Island is coming soon. In the autumn, on your favorite network, CW, Starvation Island. Who knows? I think this is basically true. I think that the people with the resources have gotten as far away from this fucking train wreck as they can get, because best case, they know that it's all going to crack up and it won't just be economic. If you want to focus on Trump and Elon, if you want to focus on Iran and Israel, you can. If they're going to have a nuclear war, they're going to have it. Me personally, I think they would have done it in October 2019. But who knows, folks? There's a Google patent for using nuclear weapons to cool the Earth. And there's another dude who just wants to set off a 50 gigaton bomb at the bottom of the ocean. I don't know why they wouldn't just slam a couple of asteroids into our, you know, into the planet to do the same thing. But then there are the three magical asteroids that are supposed to hit us any day now. And the giant caldera in Italy. We are surrounded by trauma monkeys. We are surrounded by fear. But how much of the information you're getting from the internet right now, how much of that information is useful? How much of it is actually, you know, improving your life? Maybe you watch a cooking show on YouTube. Maybe there's somebody cooking pizza in the woods and you're saying to yourself, well, this is helping. But how much of that information you're investing your life in is helping? And if the excess knowledge you can't store in your plastic spoon head requires electrons, then one final piece of fucking advice I've been giving for, you know, 5-6 years now. Buy some fucking books. Some real books that don't require a solar panel or an iPad. Buy some real books on how to do things like plant a crop or, you know, cut down a tree. Or how to build a forge. Buy some real books on first aid. Buy some real books that you could read so you don't go crazy when the internet doesn't work, where no longer does it not produce useful information, but it produces no information. Buy some real fucking books, people. Have a great Friday the 13th.